You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
She's, you know, starting to put it in. And she goes, ooh. I go, yeah, that, you know, that's never something you want to hear. When you're putting a needle in, she's like, ooh, and I'm like, what does that mean? I'm not, guys, I'm not joking you. She said, I don't even feel comfortable saying this, but she goes, oh, you're a squirter. I go, so where the hell am I? Is this a side effect? Did you do it 5 minutes ago when I'm tripping?
Welcome to episode 34.
Sure. Oh, I said 34.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. Season 2 of Brews and Bruins. I'm Chris. I'm here with Drew. Obviously, Cam's not here because why would he be? But we do have our wonderful friend and sometimes boss, Nick Godin from Bruins Diehards. How are you doing,
never Nick? I will never be a boss. I will never, never call me boss. I'd hate that, but no. Things are good. I think for those who are watching, you know, the YouTube side of things, if you're listening, we're happy you're listening. If you're watching the YouTube side of things, clearly I don't want you to follow me on Twitter. I apologize. I didn't know I was supposed to put my @ in my name here, but I'm a rookie, so you guys got to show me the ropes here. It's good to see you.
It's been a while. All right, so this is Brews and Bruins, the Hockey Podcast Network podcast presented by Bruins Diehards and sponsored by DraftKings. Drew.
Oh, fuck. Yes, we are sponsored by DraftKings. You are correct. DraftKings sponsor info. It is between the 29th and April 4th, so we'll click on a document here. Oops, let's make sure we get the Daily Fantasy one. For reading the sports book, one would be illegal. All right. All right, I got it.
Make sure when we're sending over DraftKings the like time stamps of our leave that part in.
Yeah, of course. Grab your peanuts and cracker jacks, because the sport of baseball is back. That's right. Teams will be getting back out on the diamond this week. It would have been today, but not the Red Sox. Rest in peace. Last year's season sure was different, but that doesn't mean it lacked excitement. And this year is poised to be even better. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you, yes, you, on the field with a free shot for a share of millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy baseball is easy to play. Just pick 10 players and feel the sweat while also staying under the salary cap. And you can pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. There's no better way to put your baseball knowledge to the test and feel the sweat than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars throughout the week. But if baseball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is also offering plenty of fantasy golf action for this weekend's tournament.
Millions of dollars. The first money I ever won on DraftKings was through DraftKings Fantasy Golf.
Oh, how much did you win? Or it should not be disclosed.
I think it was like 40, 50 bucks, something like that.
Oh, shit. And that's a share of the millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week.
It's electric. This shit is electric right now. I mean, this is phenomenal.
Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for all the details.
Yeah. Wow. Nice, man.
Good job.
This is what happens when they give me the ad read.
They're just getting better and better, Drew.
Dude, pretty soon you're going to be doing the side effects for like anxiety pills and stuff on the commercials and stuff, you know?
Oh, incredible stuff. All right, so as we're recording, the Bruins are playing the Penguins. Usually we don't record while the Bruins are playing, but to be honest, like, I didn't even know they were playing tonight. So, you know, and we got to record at some point because we got to release an episode on Friday, and it is Thursday. Let's look up the score. Still 1-0 Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Halfway through the game. Nick, what you been up to, man?
Hold on. That's a long story, so let's stop on that. Yeah, let's back up.
Pause on that. I always forget. We got to do beers. Nick, I assume you're not drinking during this because.
So boring, dude. This is the oldest. Like, I'm 95 years old with what I'm drinking right now. Should I start?
No reason to.
Okay, good. It's mint tea. I'll put it out there. It's just mint tea. So why don't you skip me? Go for it, boys.
Drew, you're up.
All right. So I also have to, like, chug a good portion of this, right?
Yeah. Well, so I need to. Happy birthday to Mallory.
Yes. Happy birthday.
On the day we're recording, Thursday, April 1st, is Mallory's birthday. We're having her on a week from today. So, yeah. She gave a good excuse for why she couldn't record tonight.
But yeah, so I have to chug a beer, right? Because that was the deal at one point. Okay, so this is an IPA, I believe. Yeah, it's a double IPA, so I picked the wrong one. I looked at my fridge, I was like, okay, one of these is a double, one of these is a single. So I accidentally picked the double when I meant to pick the single. I'm not going to chug all of this. I can't.
Soft.
Can't. Yeah, but you try it, motherfucker. Yeah. All right.
As I'm drinking my tea, I'm calling you soft right now.
It is a Ninja versus Unicorn double IPA from Pipeworks Brewing Company in a place that probably has a lot of pipes or something. I don't know. Where is it from?
Sure. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, let's go with it's from Pittsburgh. Sure. I had this on the podcast before, so sift through every single one of our episodes and find it and tell me where it's from. All right, I'm just gonna give it a big old chug, and I'll see how long I can do it for. Count it down.
3, 2, 1, go.
We can even hear it.
Yeah, this is gonna be really good. Wow.
Okay. that was very heavy. Double IPA, 8%. Yeah,
that was almost as good as my my cupcake attempt.
I got at least a third of it down with that.
Yeah, pretty much the same vibe as my cupcake attempt too. Because my roommate Lexi bought the cupcake and came back with like a double fudge brownie cupcake. And I was expecting like a normal size cupcake with a normal density, and instead I had like the heaviest, densest cupcake ever, and
disgusting.
Really struggled with that. Tried getting that down in one bite, and it didn't work.
So, cookies and whipped cream.
Yeah. So, Drew, I commend your attempt. My chug for Mallory's birthday was about 10 minutes ago, and I posted it on Twitter. So go check that out.
What's your at? Well, there's many people who are just listening.
At Hockey Gear, G-E-R.
There you go.
All right, Nick, how are you doing? It's been a while.
Dude, I don't even know what I've been doing. It's been so much. Everything's happening right now. Everything. Busy. I feel like the busiest guy in the world. But things are good. I can't complain. Started a new job. So I got a new job, which is it's crazy that I was offered this job. I still can't even believe it. I just noticed that the Penguins scored again, so now it's 2-0. So you hate to see that, but
good for us recording during it.
exactly. Now I'm depressed, but yeah, no. Other than that, I've just been keeping. I had surgery, so I had a pretty intense surgical procedure. So I've just been out of it, man. But I've been working through it all. So busy for
sure. Dude, I know exactly how you feel. I just had my COVID shot today, so I'm also hurting.
Dude, Well, I don't know if you can say which one you got, but I got mine too. I got the Pfizer one, and my arm felt like, dude, it was like heavy as shit after. It was like I was walking with one arm lower than the other. It was crazy.
Pfizer gang. Yeah. All right. Yep. So my beer that I'm drinking, I got a Hop'em Sock'em by Duckfoot, which is a brewery I've featured on here before, but not this beer. It's a West Coast IPA, Simcoe Dry Hopped, a citrusy contender. It's a 6.5%, which is, you know, kind of low for a West Coast IPA. I kind of like that. So I've had this beer before. Long story longer, the real fans know that I had to drop out of last episode in the middle because an electrician came to, you know, fix the power in our bathrooms. For some reason, both bathrooms had no power. And boy, did he do a great job of fixing it for one day. So we're back to showering by candlelight.
You just like slap that stuff like you see on like commercials. What's like the meme where he puts thing over adhesive. Those, like,
Oh man. So also a casualty of that power issue is my mini fridge, which has all my beer in it. And this was the first time I'd opened it since it had been fixed. So it's like, it's still a little cold. It's not warm, but I honestly appreciate the beer a little more for the flavors when it's not ice cold. So on a normal day, I might have given it a low score for taste, but you can taste it. I'm giving it a 26 for taste.
I didn't give mine ratings, but it was a 0 for chuggability.
And for drinkability, I mean, with a West Coast IPA, it's never going to be high drinkability because they're all just punchy in the mouth with hops. So I'm going to go like 8.
Nice. Cam Neely. Good number.
Yeah. Man. So I think the most important things on our minds, we talked about it with Lauren last week, obviously. Boston Pride, winning the Isabel Cup, that's huge. I mean, just putting more banners up in Logan Airport, always love that. I mean, it's been, we've been blessed as Boston fans to have many championships, but it's been a few years. Red Sox in 2018 was the last one. And feels nice to get one under our belts again. Nick, how are you feeling about that?
Feeling good. Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because I was just last night. Because I'm teaching my girlfriend. She's actually not from this country. So she's from South Africa. It's much more of a rugby country. So she's learning about hockey. I was showing her all these hockey videos of like them punching each other in the face. She's like, how the hell is that even legal? I'm like, you got a lot to learn here. So I was telling her why everybody hates Boston. Because she's in New York, right? She's like, well, everybody here in New York doesn't like Boston. I'm like, well, it's because we win so damn much. What do you mean you win so much? So I'm going through the championships. I'm like, honestly, more often than not, there's a Boston team in the championships. Out of one of the four, there's at least one. And now we're looking at the National Women's Hockey League, and you've got the Boston Pride who – you know, I'm not looking to jinx it. I've got wood right here. I'm going to knock on it right now, but they don't look like they'd lose anytime soon. So, I'm pumped for that. And it honestly couldn't have happened to any better people. I mean, every single player on that roster, they're incredible athletes. And then you got the leadership from, your coaches, assistant coaches, Paul Maher, Carolyn Pilch. The writing was on the wall. They were going to win for sure. And they should have won it last year. They are claimed to be back-to-back. They should have won it in a game last year. And it was a long time coming for them. So I'm proud of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of perfect that it was those two teams meeting because it was those two teams mm-hmm. that were kind of claiming the 2019 championship when they didn't get to play against each other. It would have been them playing against each other. And nice, I mean, not as tight as it was on the scoreboard, definitely a pretty solid victory over the Whitecaps. You know, I mean, gave us some tense moments at the end with like 19.4 seconds left with, six on four. But pretty fun.
Yeah, very fun. Yeah, it kind of just echoing Nick's thoughts, just like really exciting to see that. And that ending gave me a little bit of anxiety for sure. I was like, oh, no, no, this is how it goes. You give up a goal with 19 seconds left, and then you give one up with eight, and it's going to go downhill from here.
Like, only if you're Toronto.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But I was like, wait, what if the Pride become the Toronto of the WHL?
Well, see, that would have been a worry if the Toronto Six weren't a
that's true,
a
yeah.
member of the NWHL. There you go. Yeah, so we're excited to, as a podcast, I mean, it's good to have you on for this, Nick, because I think you and...
are better than Cam.
Yeah, first of all.
Oh, boy.
Let's just start there.
It's very easy. The bar's low.
you and everybody at Bruins Diehards, and obviously Pride Diehards, have a really great relationship with the Pride, and I think we're gonna strong arm you and try and leverage that into some more content. And I mean, obviously we're having Mallory on again, but you know, hoping to branch out and get some more people on.
Yeah, I mean, look, at the end of the day, would I like to get you guys Paul Maher? Of course I would, but he is so in love with me, and so I'm concerned about what he'd say when he comes in this podcast. Paul, if you're listening right now, my friend, if you come on this show and you feel it necessary to chirp the wheels off of me, I'm just gonna come back and I'm gonna roast him down to the ground. I know you just won a championship, but I want you to, you know, feel good about that. So if you're gonna come on the show, I give it a few months after you win this championship. Enjoy it now, and then we can talk on here. No, I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm proud of Paul, but no, for sure, they would definitely come on. We've even had those conversations, so. I think there will definitely be more Pride coverage on this show.
Awesome.
Hell yeah. That's what we're looking forward to.
Your, Chris's dog's happy right now about that.
That's my neighbor's dog. That's,
oh, really?
Yeah. Super annoying. But
yeah.
My dogs are being nice and quiet. All three of them being very quiet. My neighbor's dog.
That's surprising with another dog barking. You would think that would trigger them into.
I mean, they're used to it, I think.
Like, it's pissing me off. Like, and you've got two dogs over there that are totally calm. That's incredible.
It's my dog bark. I didn't want to go all out into the mic and, you know.
That dog is occasionally the bane of my existence. That dog has dug holes underneath the fence between our apartments and just come into our backyard before.
Nice.
And it's
I love that.
It's a medium-sized dog in terms of like height and length, but it's like a very skinny live dog, and it's impossible to catch. So, literally, I think it was like the babysitter next door had to hop the fence and grab the dog and like bring him back over. Just a nightmare of a dog with the most annoying bark, and it's. It's pretty good at not barking while I'm sleeping, but you know, it'll be like the Saturday after just, you know, a real fun night, and it'll be like 7 a.m. and that dog starts barking. I'm like, that's the last thing I want.
I really hope that somebody is listening to this episode, like in the car, and they have their dog in the car, and they hear the barking, and their dog starts barking lawsuits. At nothing. And just, I want to know if that happens to someone.
Legit lawsuits, for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, so, I mean, the other important thing is the Bruins finally beat the fucking Devils. It was about goddamn time.
Are you even proud? Like, can you be proud of that, or is it just kind of like, all right, we got that one win behind us and we can move on a little bit, but I'm not even like comfortable with it, you know?
Yeah, it's more it's, like it's the hockey bit, gods cut us a break.
It's like as soon as that happened, the Sabres were able to finally win the game. This is the end of all weird things happening in hockey.
I would have taken another Bruins loss if it meant the Sabres would also lose one more game. Well, that's fine. All we need is fourth place to get into the playoffs, so, you know, like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't want fourth place if the Islanders are in first.
No.
Because that's another team that we have to figure out at some point.
Do you guys know if for playoffs, are they going to be traveling or doing a bubble again? Like, will they go between, if that were a series, go between New York and Boston? Or I don't know if they've announced anything on that.
Do we actually know like what the vaccination levels of the league are?
I don't know. I remember the NHL at one point said they were going to purchase their own batch, but I didn't hear anything.
And then there was a lot of backlash, like, hey, maybe we should vaccinate old people first. And they were like, no, nah, that's not what we meant. And then I'd never heard of it.
So I'm looking into it right now to look at the alignment.
Already way better than Cam.
Let's see here. Well, hold on. I spoke too soon because I don't even know if I've got it up yet. Let me tell you something. I asked Google, what is the 2021 playoff alignment? And it's giving me 3 pages worth of content here. I just want to know, like, what the changes are. We don't have to get, like, this is an essay. Somebody start talking so I can find it. Now I'll figure it out.
My understanding is that it's in each division – you got the 1-4 game and you have the 2-3 game or the matchup, I guess. And then you have one champion out of each division. And I'm not sure how it works once you have the Canada one. Like, I'm not sure who plays Canada and whatnot, but.
Oh, Canada's West, because there's a lot of East. Actually, I think the Central's mostly West Coast.
So it's West either Coast. No one knows, or they've already figured out that Canada's West, because people keep saying shit like the Bruins could play the Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup final.
So they were saying that, though, early on. They were saying that. I saw a lot of people tweet that out, that the Bruins and the Canadians, or the Bruins and the Leafs, could play in the Stanley Cup final. And
I'd love that.
That would be unreal. You know what, though? So I'm on. Let me think through this. That would be awesome from the perspective of watching. Like, it means so much more. Probably reignite that Bruins Canadians rivalry again. Because let's be real, that hasn't been that relevant since what? Like, 2012 might have been kind of like that last year. I think that was the last time they played in the playoffs too. Right?
That reminds me of something I want to talk about, but keep going 14, on this. I'll circle back.
Point being, like, is possibly losing to the Leafs or the Canadians in a Stanley Cup final worth making it to the Stanley Cup final and playing them? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I question that. It would be amazing to beat them in the Stanley Cup final, but if you lose to them in such a meaningful game, that almost is like, shit, I just wish we could go back to the normal stuff where we lose the conference final.
We've definitely talked about it on this podcast, but the overconfidence, the hubris of Bruins fans playing against Toronto in the playoffs when, like, it's – a bunch of 7-game series that took place like several years apart and came down to like the very last minute. The Bruins fucking dominate Toronto in the playoffs. It's like, do they know?
It's so
lucky 3 times in a row.
It's so easy, though. I mean, it's so easy to, like, if there's any fan base that deserves it, it's Toronto. Like, I'm not over here trying to chirp all of them, but is there any more fan base that is here? And I will, and I'll dig in here. Let's dig deep. Is there any fan base that is so damn like, oh, this team is going to win the cup every friggin' year? And it's like, no, guys, you actually missed the playoffs last year. What are you talking about? You're going to win the cup this year? Like, they're not even close. And every year they're like, oh, we just signed John Tavares. No, they constantly
Joe Thornton. Think they
put them in. Yeah, exactly. It's just
this is our secret weapon.
They're brutal. They're brutal. That fan base can be brutal, and look, trust me, Bruins fans can be too at times, right? Every fan base can be, but
I think Bruins are one of the more toxic fan bases.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we cordoned off like our own segment of Bruins fandom, not to be totally exclusive of a segment of Bruins fans, but it's tough to tolerate that. Like, well, Tuukka Rask sucks. Get rid of him.
Exactly.
Pretty crazy.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. And honestly, if this is going to cause you guys to lose viewers, don't even answer this question. But what is the
We've
most?
Never cared.
What is the number one most annoying thing Bruins fans do to you? Like, from your perspective, what's the number one thing you're like, all right, this is the top of my list that the fan base that I love and that I'm part of just drives me crazy with?
Excluding, like, the racism and sexism.
Yeah, because Kaylee and I were talking about that today. You know, you're going to find that in every fan base. And if you're a fan from a fan base that says that your fan base isn't racist, you're just part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
Every fan base, every territory, every country, every town has somebody who's racist in it, right? And it's your job to listen for it, and it's your job to stand up to it when it happens. So
exactly. So I think I did want to talk about that conversation. I saw you guys doing that, and I didn't want to like respond to it because I thought that was a good discourse, and I didn't want to like jump in. But there are two like polar sides of it that are really annoying about it. And there's the one side that's like, okay, how are you going to judge an entire fan base by like a couple of bad scenes? Like, we're not racist. And then there's the other side that's, I mean, it's not like two sides that are fighting against each other, but it's two sides of the same coin. Where you have another side that's like, okay, well, here's the thing. You can't. All right, I lost my train of thought.
Dog.
Damn dog. That is the dog, isn't it?
It's not helping.
There's one. The other side like of the coin is.
Okay, so the other side of the coin is people who like really like fight back against it and are like, this is an attack on our fan base, and like not all Yankees fans are racists, and that's like you have to, like what you said, Nick, is that you have to recognize that it exists and fight against it rather than be the person who's super defensive about someone calling your fan base racist.
Yeah, and not to – so, okay, while we have the conversation, I think it's important that I also say in no way am I an expert, right? In no way am I an expert. I'm more of somebody who is just – let's use the word woke, right? Woke enough to know that I have so much to learn, right? At the same point, when you're responding to things that you might find to be from a fan base in particular as racist or something, I feel like educating is always a better approach than like directly trying to, if you want to use the word cancel, or if you want to use the word, what do they call it when people do more likes or they do a bunch of responses and there's no
ratio.
So you're just like, I'm going to straight up ratio you, bro. No, why don't you try to like educate the person on what they're doing? Because if you don't educate them with absence of information, you make stories, right? So these people, I just feel like you gotta provide the info. You got to educate them on what they might be doing wrong or what they might be missing. And then you move on.
And that's on us. Like, the onus is on us, the people who have put in the work and understand when you have a bunch of people saying, like, for example, a bunch of visiting people coming in, players coming in and saying, hey, here are some things that, like, legitimately happened to me while I was in Boston, like, playing baseball in Boston. And the educating the people who got really defensive about that shit and being like, that's not everybody, though. Well, okay. Yeah. It's obviously it's not everybody, but that's still not okay. If you see that, you gotta call it out and say, hey, this is fucking stupid. Like, stop doing this, and educate the people who are getting defensive about that, about why they shouldn't get defensive, and instead become a positive force in expunging that from our fan base.
For sure.
Yeah. And I know that I sound borderline hypocritical because I just told Leafs fans that they constantly are annoying, and they do this thing about always saying that they're the best team. It's because they are like that. Like, that is one of the only fan bases that is so constantly. So, look, I will admit that every fan base has its flaws, right? The Bruins fans are brutal. Bruins fans push more talent out than keep them in, right? It's almost like you think about I don't know. Let's think about some players that left probably because of it.
Dougie Hamilton's
one of them. Dougie Hamilton's one of them, right? I wouldn't be surprised if – okay, I don't want to read too much into this because I want to be sensitive for this, but I know that Tim Thomas was very open about the fact that he didn't care to be as much in the spotlight because of anxiety and so on. And I wonder if being in sort of an environment like Boston, whereas something like Arizona, which is much more fly under the radar, you just go and you play hockey, you go to the restaurant, maybe not a whole lot of people know you, right?
Or Florida, maybe, where he wound up too.
Yeah, somewhere. That too. Florida. Yeah, Florida.
That was for a second.
Yeah,
that was brief.
Conditional, but... right? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, actually, no. Now that, no, you meant for a second, like second wise, that meant a second round pick. I think it was a third round pick or a fourth round pick or something.
I meant for a literal second.
Second. Yeah,
like he was there for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
But to answer your question, though, I think it is that the biggest, my biggest issue with Bruins fans is the calling players soft, like thinking a player like David Krejci, just because he doesn't crush dudes into the boards, is not a worthwhile player. Yeah. Or somebody like Andre Kasha, who in his limited time has driven play and has been one of the biggest opportunity creating players on the ice, and simply because he's been injured is not worthy of being on the team, or is just garbage and needs to be, you know, shown the door.
Yeah, and that shit pisses me off, because it's like, all right, then, like, you take the ice and you try not to get hurt, and you try to go and hit some fucking 6'3 dude, 200 pounds. Like,
I think there is something to it with Kasha, who is kind of a guy who, I wouldn't say skates with his head down, but he does get, like, really aggressive in terms of, like, trying to make a play where maybe he should think about himself first. And I think that's something that Bruins fans should appreciate rather than denigrate, where it's a guy who's willing to make a play and not worry about his health, where I think he should probably be worrying about his health at this point.
I don't, you know, at the end of the day, though, when I really think about it, I guess I don't blame a lot of them, because when you go to the nitty gritty, I mean, take it back 50 years, right? Take it back 30 years, 40 years. It's within the Bruins culture, and it's almost within this organization's foundation to play that way. It was always the big bad Bruins. It was always, and so what we're looking at here after, you know, Claude Julien leaves, you get Bruce Cassidy, which Claude Julien was, of course, much more defensively minded. Now we're going into something where, okay, Bruce Cassidy focuses on defense, trying to transition into offense. The game is a little bit more offensive. It is a pretty significant cultural shift, and I think you guys would probably agree. It happened pretty quickly, right? The culture shift from enforcers to enforcers being eradicated and really focusing on finesse, that happened like within 10 years, and that's not a whole lot of time when you consider the game was played pretty much the same for the last 75, 80, 90 years. So you've got all these old-time Bruins fans, anybody from the age of 40 and on, who aren't used to this type of hockey. So they're still trying to learn. And I guess if I got to play devil's advocate, we as younger fans who, for the most part, this is what we know, probably have to be a little bit patient. And again, maybe educate them. I don't know. They can be really friggin' annoying. Like, there's something about, I can deal with stubborn young people, but stubborn old people, I don't got the patience for that, because they're not going
to
change.
They're too old to change.
When it comes to hockey, though, like, I can kind of see the perspective. Like, yeah, what they know, though, is physicality can win championships and all that. Yeah. So I kind of understand that as well. And even younger people, like when it comes to that, like, I understand that's been the view on hockey for a long, long time. It's one of the toughest sports. There's fucking fighting in the sport. And you look back in history, ice fighting. It sounds like an Olympic sport. They should do that. Hockey fights is an Olympic sport. Are you kidding me? That would kill.
Honestly, it's fucking insane if you think about it. It is bare knuckle boxing on blades on ice. Blades.
And it's legal. Well, no, it's not legal. It's a penalty. But, you know, it's not
it's legal.
It's not
in
a year suspended.
It's very
you don't get arrested for it.
Yeah, there's literally a penalty in place in the rule book for it, therefore making it acceptable.
Yeah.
I was watching, again, just last night, the fight with Kevin Miller and Travis Moen. I think this must have been back in, oh gosh, maybe 2016, something like that, 2015. And they just dropped the gloves. It was after a nasty hit. And Kevin Miller goes up and they drop the gloves. Kevin just goes and throws a right, knocks Moen down to the ground, lifts him back up, starts punching some more. Then Moen drops him. Miller's knees buckle, which, okay, maybe one knee if we're going to go with that. Sorry, Miller, I didn't mean to chirp you there. He drops down. He gets back up, punches Moen in the face again, drops Moen. And I'm over here like, this is wild, because everybody's just standing here watching this. Like, if this happened out in the streets, like literally, you know, 1,000 feet outside of the arena, that's like an arrest. You know what I mean? But inside these walls, it's like totally encouraged. It's just so crazy.
Good question, though. Go ahead, Drew.
Oh, I was going to circle back way earlier when we were talking about the Habs. So, like, if you have something that's more relevant.
Let's get one thing in first. Do you, off the top of your head, have a favorite fight, like Bruins fight? I can go first while you guys think.
Will circle back into my answer, so go for it.
It's pretty cut and dry for me. I forget exactly what year it was. I think it was 2012 or 2013. There was an Adam McQuaid Rafi Torres fight. Andrew Ferentz was going to the corner. Torres came up with an elbow like right to the head, and like without even hesitating,
Cam Hasbrook, ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to the podcast, Cam Hasbrook. So we're talking about favorite fights. Without even hesitating.
Favorite fights is Drew trying to get me to get on this podcast right now.
Sick. Without even hesitating, Adam McQuaid went to the corner, literally just boarded Rafi Torres, and then like picked him up and just beat the absolute shit out of him. And it was that's an example of, to me, like fighting in hockey that absolutely belongs. Like if you're not going to defend somebody who like. Rafi Torres, just like notorious asshole, like on the level of Matt Cook, where just like this guy just doesn't belong in hockey, and like any little thing he does to endanger your teammate better be chucking knucks. And that fight, like I'll watch that like once or twice a year. That shit, check it out on YouTube if you haven't seen it.
Free pump up. Love to see it.
Before I give my answer, Cam, where the fuck are you? You're in a mask, but like you also look like one of the like the fucking Black Plague with the big nose thing because of your mask.
You look like you tried to drink coffee through your mask.
Yeah, I think I spilled some. I don't really know what happened there, but tough go. I do have an answer. My favorite fight is the one that I'm going to have with Nick if he doesn't tell us where the fucking tree is in Portland. So we're
not there yet. Well, you still haven't told us where you are right now.
I am at channel 13, which I need to continue going to do my job.
Doctor's office. Like, is that your office? Just this little fucking corner?
So, hey, Godin, you're the only one that's getting there around there. So make sure you tune into CBS 13 News at 11.
We'll do.
We've got some good stuff. 11 on
o'clock. I'll make sure I'm up for that. Yeah. For sure.
All right. You gentlemen, have a great show.
Love you, Cam.
Thanks, Cam.
I randomly sent him the link and was like, just do it.
There's no way I'm staying up for that.
Incredible stuff.
Absolutely no way I'm staying up for the 11 o'clock news.
Two like back-to-back episodes of just like very random drop-ins and
drop-outs. My favorite fight, it actually doesn't tie into what I was going to say about the Habs, but it was Matt Cook versus Sean Thornton the game after that Mark Savard got hit by Matt Cook and therefore concussed and honestly just derailed his career from there, unfortunately. But I love that fight just because like it wasn't like a great hockey fight, but just at the end while Matt Cook was on the ground, Sean Thornton got like two more quick punches in. And I know that's kind of against the code once you get the man down, but because of the circumstances of it, I was totally in support of it. I was totally Sean, he's got like three punches in on the actual fight. You needed a few more to justify.
He later did the same thing to Brooks Orpik, and it was a much bigger deal.
Oh, that was I remember that. You know what? In all fairness, I don't know if it was necessary because I don't think – so, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Sean Thornton and Matt Cook fought, they fought like they were going at it. But when Brooks Orpik – and Sean gloves. Thornton had this situation. Gloves still on. Orpik didn't even really look like he was going to fight. Dropped to the ground, punched in the face.
That was the thing about Brooks Orpik is that he was a dirty player who never fought. Yeah. And so I'm not going to defend what Sean Thornton did.
Total ever, accident, though.
But like, I
well, okay, let me rephrase. Maybe not an accident. totally not. Did Sean Thornton think he was going to knock him out unconscious? Doubtful.
No, absolutely. But like, yeah, you should never punch somebody with your gloves on who is turtling. Yeah. But that was the thing, like, especially at that time, is like, if you are going to play dirty hockey, like, you better be able to stick up for yourself. And Brooks Orpik was never that kind of player. And I just don't respect the guy, but you can't knock a guy out just because of that.
Yeah. That's taking advantage. Like, so you got to do it when the time is right. And that just wasn't the right time. So like, he deserved it, but you know, you can't. Yeah.
I mean, that's also like, yeah, you find a time in the flow of play to take him out, like with a hit. And, I mean, that was the most frustrating thing. And I was so happy when PK Subban got traded, because I didn't have to pretend to hate him anymore. Dude was so frustrated because he would hip check and you'd take some cheap shots and you could never hit him because he would always, he's too good of a skater, and you would just skate out of the way. You would do some spin.
It's kind of similar to Marshawn in that way. Marshawn is able to dodge a lot of hits because of how he skates.
Marshy, sometimes in an illegal way, would like submarine guys.
Yes. Yes. I love some of the, like, the Vancouver brawls, like the game after, or that they met for the rematch. The final,
I will
after
say,
the cup.
Objectively hilarious glove on punching. I believe it was Henrik Sedin with Marsh.
Right.
Just like
one hand. I think that was I can't remember if that was during the cup final, the cup run, or if it was
in the cup final.
Well, the one that Drew, you're referring to, where he sort of did did the bridge on Sammy Salo, or was that during 2011? Was that 2012?
I think that was, he did one during the playoff series, but that one was after that was.
Because you know what? There was a full-on brawl
in
when they played in 2012.
Everybody called Marchand so dirty when Sammy Salo's coming from the red line, sprinting over to Marchand. What's he supposed to do? Stand there up against the boards and take the hit? No, I'm bending over too. If you're going to sprint from the red line and the whistle's already been blown, like, what are you supposed to do? The play's not even happening right now. Bend over, fly the guy over, try to flip him over the glass. I want to see him hanging from the netting in the back of the goalies.
My favorite part, I don't know if it was that one or another one when he submarined, but he instantly dropped his gloves, rolled up his sleeves, and prepared.
No, it was that one.
That was the most
badass.
Best thing I have ever seen on a hockey rink was that. That was dope. He knew what he was doing, and he was ready to get pounced on. I
honestly miss how much I hated that Vancouver team. That was, I remember, like, for 2 years, I hated that Vancouver team more than I hated the Yankees, and I had hated the Yankees my entire life. Yeah. And I did not give a shit about the Vancouver Canucks until that series in 2011. And I mean,
they're so likable now.
Debatable on likable. I like their fans, and I like, I like the broadcast. I like all the Twitter personalities that are on that team. I think they would be more likable if they were good.
I'm just thinking about, they're so young, right? And then you've got so many, I don't want to say like good people because I don't know them, right? But like, what's Elias Pettersson ever done, right? What's Brock Besser ever done? Why am I blanking on his name? Quinn Hughes done, you know?
Yep.
They've got a lot of good talent. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But, you know, then you think back on some of those guys that you hated, and you think about the Sedins, and you knew you were going to hate them just by looking at them. They just annoyed you by looking at them. And then you think about Burrows. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I can't figure out who's who. And then, like, Burrows, man, who is now – wait, who's he coaching for? Is it New Jersey? No, Buffalo, no.
He was in Florida for a couple of years, right?
And then, yeah, he just got a new coaching gig. I'm gonna look that one.
Oh, it was Ottawa.
It was Ottawa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that was his coaching gig, but that's where he. Because I remember Eugene Melnyk had like the insane quote. And this is up there with. I'll read my top two right now. So the Eugene Melnyk quote that was like when he traded for Alex Burrows, and he was like, "Yeah, all the players are coming in like giving me hugs, like." Big old hugs, because they were like, we need 37-year-old Alex Burrows, who scores 3 goals this year on our roster. And then the other one is, I forget who the GM was, but it was whoever the GM in Minnesota was or is. I don't know if it's the same person right now. but when they signed Matt Zuccarello, they were like, yeah, he's just the kind of guy who's
I remember that.
He's got that like lizard tongue where he just like goes out and like snaps things. I'm just like, what are you talking about, man?
It's by the way, it's Montreal. That's where Burrows is now.
Perfect.
Of all places, he's the new assistant. New assistant coach. Yeah.
Yeah. I want Andrew Ferentz back so we can just have
I want to have him on the pod is what I want to do.
I would love to have
him. He's like a co-owner of a brewery now. He has like stake in a brewery.
Dude has politics that are similar to ours and
oh my god, I just spilled beer. But
actually, fun fact about Ferentz, he one time tweeted me and Kanye West. It was Ferentz, me, and Kanye West, and he tweeted us and said, "Do you like fish sticks, Kanye?" And I'm not joking. I hope that I'm sure it's still out there if you look it up. Yeah, I'll never live that down.
Incredible stuff.
Yeah. Did you respond?
I
dressed Kanye, but you were added in it. So like.
Yeah, I don't know how I got there. I'll have to look that up. I was so young. I had no reason to be in that thread with them.
I'm not a huge South Park guy, but objectively hilarious that they made that joke and it got to him so much that he wrote about it on his like objectively best album. Incredible stuff. By Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Oh, the thing about Montreal that I had for a while.
Let's circle back.
So there's I don't know if you guys. Oh, what the fuck is the fucking the fuck? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we know.
The YouTube channel, it's sports. SB Nation does it. They do sports. Beef history. Is like the name of the
beef history.
Yeah, so they cover beef between players, and recently they've been doing more like teams beef, and they've started to slowly do some more hockey ones. And they had one that was the Habs and the Red Wings was one of their first ones. Or sorry, not the Habs and the Avs, the Avalanche, and the Red Wings was one of their first. But they recently, like literally a week or two ago, did one on Bruins Habs, and it's it's pretty good. It's like it's 18 minutes, and they even said in it like it was done 10 months ago. Where have I been? All right, but anyway, they said like we'd need 18 hours to really cover the full rivalry, but they covered where it was basically 2011 onward. Maybe it was more like 2009 onward when it was for a while there. It was really heated and they had the playoff matchups and everything. And that's where the Tim Thomas, Carey Price fight was. And they covered a big chunk of that game where all those fights were happening. But it's always really well done with that stuff. They have a one on Cam Neely and I fucking forget his name. Was it Samuelson who like took out his knee, which kind of brought him towards the end of his career. Yeah. Yeah, so
scumbag.
Yeah, they have one on that too. It's very well done. They use like newspaper clippings to like show quotes from that, quotes from players. It's all very, very well done. But yeah, very entertaining thing I found at like fucking 2 a.m. last night. So yeah,
good job, man.
About that.
Yeah, shouts to that. I'm glad we circled back.
Hey, SB Nation, are you hiring? I am going to graduate with a media and communications degree with a focus in journalism soon. Yeah.
Hey, Drew, should we show the camera what we're wearing? I mean, like, we're not wearing the same thing, but... I
mean, hey!
Nice. I've got a Portland Nutritional Company t-shirt on. Oh, free ads. I'm sorry. It's my bad. No free ads. Hello. I just DM'd you guys the tweets, by the way.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, brutal.
We'll just have PNC Venmo us for the ad.
Yeah, I can do my best there. No, Andrew Ferentz. So this is what's crazy. I forgot that he tagged Tyler Seguin in it too.
And South Park.
At Flying or at South Park, at Tyler Seguin, at Kanye West. Something there ain't the same, right? Do you like fish sticks? And then the next tweet after that, at me in South Park, I am picturing Kanye reading that fish sticks tweet and actually being mad as hell. Hashtag life imitates art.
The tweet above the "Do you like fish chicks?" It says the tweet is unavailable. Was it deleted or am I blocked by Kanye?
So that was me, right? And I wiped my 13-year-old tweets because, oh my god, were those brutal. And so I think I tweeted at Andrew Ferentz, and he must have responded. And I don't know if you thought it was funny or something, but it was funny enough to bring in Tyler Sagan, South Park, Kanye West. Yeah, it's just wild, so wild.
I got a tweet. Pretty funny though that like, so the only reply I see is somebody who follows me and I follow apparently. Shouts to Megan Catherine, saying, "How are more people not retweeting this? It's pure genius." Hi Kanye West. 2 retweets on that Andrew Ferentz tweet.
Should I go retweet it right now? I think I might.
Retweeting it myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna retweet it. You'll like it. We should comment like, "Hey, talked about this tweet on the Brewers and Bruins podcast. Want to come on sometime?"
He's gonna be like 2013. What the hell?
He actually added me I added him with an article that like right after he retired, I did one for thehockeywriters.com and it was his top 5 Bruins moments. And I tweeted, you know, like at whatever is that for Knuckle, actually one of the better ads out there on Twitter. It was like at for Knuckle's best Bruins moments. And then he like commented, "Thanks, man." And that was whenever he retired. What was that, like 4 years ago or something? Anyway, my mom, being the mom that she is of an only child, took a screenshot of him replying to it and then printed it out and put it on like my fridge. And it was on my fridge for a while that the fucking Andrew Ferentz responded to my tweet. And I was like, this is unnecessary, but all right. So I'm constantly reminded of that being a thing.
I've never told this story before, and so this one's
exclusive content.
This one's it might not even be that good, but it's just such a bizarre one, and I think that you guys, it will be so bizarre knowing that it's about Jack Edwards of all people. You'll probably believe it. So I was sitting down on my couch, and I realized that I had just sat on my stepdad's glasses, and so I don't know. Again, young kid, felt like I had to tweet about everything, so I tweeted, "Oh my gosh, I just sat on my stepdad's sunglasses. I feel terrible." And all of a sudden, I get a ping in my phone. I take a look at it, and it says DM from Jack Edwards. I'm like, "What?" And I open up the DM, and it's from Jack Edwards. And he says, "Well, run like hell and run fast. You won't be able to see you for long." And I'm like, what the hell is – I'm like, how am I just getting DMs from Jack Edwards? I realize he's followed me for about 10 years now.
No, holy shit.
Yeah, Jack Edwards has followed me for 10 years. Yeah, and he used to reach out. Actually, another fun fact, when Tim Thomas retired, guess who broke the news to Jack Edwards?
You.
Me. It was me. Wow. It was me. He sent me a message and said, "Who's your source?" I said, "Joe McDonald." "It's not me." I said, "It's Joe McDonald." And I won't go into more depth as to what Jack said after that. But yeah, it was kind of cool. We've chatted a bit.
That's awesome.
My ex-girlfriend's dad is like pen pals with Jack. They like mail back and forth. It's very funny.
I think it's a very Jack Edwards thing.
It must be. Pal.
He probably has a lot of pen pals. You should talk to your ex-girlfriend's dad or your friend's dad, you said? What did you say? What's the relation?
Sounds difficult to do.
What was your relation? What did you say?
It was my ex-girlfriend's dad, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's a bit hard to do, but you know, just like, "Hey, man, be aware. I think he has some other pet pals out there. I mean, he talks to my friend Nick Godin on Twitter all the time.
Reach out to your ex-girlfriend and say, "Hey, can I talk to your dad? See if I can get Jack Edwards on the pod."
I feel like that would be less awkward than you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should ask him for us.
Yeah.
In the
on that note, I think we should wrap up.
Yeah, Friday episode getting a little long.
We're almost in an hour. These are supposed to be 20 to 45 minutes. As always, we've run over. But yeah, Nick, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me.
It's been a while. It's good to see your face. Good to see your hair.
Nothing to look at. It's a problem, but you know.
It's a lot to look at.
Drew, wish I could say the same.
Yeah, I know. I cut my hair.
Yeah, you do. I was going to say, man, you actually look great.
I did want to say on the vaccine front, I also wasn't, I was like thinking at the beginning of the show to ask you about your vaccine experience, Chris. I guess we can wrap up with that. But now in Massachusetts, if you're a restaurant or a supermarket worker, you're eligible. And not because of that, but that's a bonus. I started working at a restaurant yesterday. Because I need some dough, and this podcast didn't take off like I thought it would. So I got that, and I'm eligible now. So I'm curious, as both of you have gotten some vaccination in you, what's that experience like? And you can rig the system by getting a job at a restaurant.
Well, yeah, it also helps to work for be like a what is called mission critical worker at a military facility. I had to wait in line.
That's insane. That's,
my story
that just
is
like
be
slowly clicked like
a lot less cool. Yeah, that was amazing. I'll never be that cool in my life. That was awesome. That's
great. I have to wait in line.
The episode.
Please don't.
Yes.
Holy shit, James Bond, man! That was,
what was it? Mission Critical. I'll listen back and name
Matt Damon and the Bourne Ultimatum. That was intense.
Yeah, I don't want to blow up my spot with my employer.
Edit to your Twitter bio.
Yeah, I really don't want anybody I work for listening to this podcast. But so I had to go wait in line at the movie theater at my local Navy base for 4 hours today.
Wow.
And I forgot to eat breakfast. So Drew was earlier asking about side effects, and I was going to say, like, I'm feeling side effects, but also unclear if that's because I didn't eat or drink anything before going and waiting in line for 4 hours, or because, you know, actual COVID shot, but it's a first dose, so I assume it's mostly just having really poorly planned this morning.
Yeah, I'm no doctor, right? But I mean, what they told me is don't take any sort of Tylenol or anything beforehand because they don't want to thin your blood. So mine was very simple. I got a job in healthcare, so I was immediately eligible. Of course, I would have been eligible.
Right,
yeah,
cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And, so, you know, it was pretty easy. I went to actually the local Hanaford's corporate office was doing it. I didn't have to wait in line, handed my letter that I was proved that I work in healthcare, walked in, sits down. I'm super scared of needles. I'm like not a needle guy at all. Get them away from me. I don't want to look at them. And so she's, you know, starting to put it in. And she goes, ooh. I go, yeah, that, you know, that's never something you want to hear when you put a needle in. She's like, ooh. And I'm like, what does that mean? I'm not joking you. She said, I don't even feel comfortable saying this, but she goes, oh, you're a squirter. I go, excuse me.
Wait, what?
So where the hell am I? Is this a side effect? Did you do it 5 minutes ago when I'm tripping? What's happening right now? And she's like, well, you just bled. I'm like, yeah, how about you say, oh, you bled, instead of calling me a squirt. So I looked down. I was bleeding like crazy. She said, I'm her first bleeder, so I don't know. I guess I'm not good at that stuff. But either way, I'll never forget that. COVID vaccine, unforgettable.
So we're, I guess, blood brothers, because when I got shot today, guys stuck me, and I was like, hell yeah, man. You know, because that's what I say.
So badass.
I said, hell yeah, man.
He was, I love the pain, hell yeah.
He was like, oh, is that good? I was like, yeah, totally solid. And he's like, cool. But I am going to get you a Band-Aid. He said it very dramatically. And I look down, and there's just like blood all over my arm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Don't let that dissuade you from getting the vaccine.
No, it was
apparently
simple.
Nick and I are just bleeders.
It was simple. And just, again, you know, lastly, I'll say, just take care of yourself, be healthy, right? And you're going to be fine. Your body will react to everything better if you're healthy. So, a lot of people are saying, take a pain medication within an hour after you get your shot, get ahead of that pain. Your arm's going to swell around night. It's totally normal. If you get a little sick, totally normal, but you know, it's going to help. It's going to help a lot of people. So let's get back to normal. Cause I'd like to chug some beers in the lake in July. So.
So the thing that, not to further extend this podcast, but the thing my roommate, she got her first dose and was like, she's allergic to, well, I guess her mom's allergic to like flu vaccines, so she's never had a flu vaccine.
Was
surprised.
I got my first flu vaccine this year.
Was surprised at how much the like arm pain was at the first dose. So she like looked up a bunch of stuff to like mitigate that pain. It was like kind of icy hot roller. And I've been using that today, and it's definitely been helping. I feel pretty good right now.
Yeah, I read this or watched this video about how YouTube black hole, how like people use Google as like a doctor, and like all these health professionals were talking about, and they're kind of like, yeah, sometimes that helps because then people are like, oh, they're not going to overreact and come in. But then some people overreact and come in and they're like, oh my God, I have this rash. Do I have like insert fucking horrible disease that's going to kill them within like 20 days? And they're like, nope, just a rash. Put some lotion on it. You're going to be fine. Yeah.
All right. And that's the end of the episode.
There we go. Oh, no, we have to sing happy birthday to Mallory.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true.
Happy birthday to you. We're out of sync. So cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday now. Happy birthday to you.
There we go. That was a little fun joke. Yeah.